You are listening to a Central Life Christian Church presentation. For more information, visit centrallife.com.au.
To go to developing countries and be involved in mission. I like it because on one day you can pray for 600 people. Physically, you most probably can't, but you can actually pray for 600 people. And people are so hungry there for God. And so hungry for what they don't have. So please, can I make the disclaimer? I've been through a lot of mission talks where you see 1,000 slides and you go home feeling washed out. I don't want to do that. But I'd like to at least give you some strategies that might fit for you, that might work for you in being involved in this expanding kingdom. Have you worked it out yet? There's only one church. Have you worked it out? It's a pretty big coast. There's about 115 congregations on the coast, but there's one church. And Jesus said he'll build his church. So it doesn't belong to anybody else. It's his. And he's Lord of the church. That's just the way it is. And so love it or like it, that's good. I've been to a couple of different countries and the Philippines quite a few times. Mainly because it's cheaper to get there. Honestly, it's the fair cost. The cost of airfare is much better, so it's easier for me on a limited income. But the people there are just so hungry and desperate for God. I remember going into a house there. This time we went to Eastern Samar, which anybody knows much about the Philippines. It's a good two-hour flight from Manila to get to Eastern Samar. And we went into this house and there was this lady. We were giving rice, we were giving water filters. We'll speak a bit about that. And this lady was there and she could barely walk. She was bent over. She could hardly get anywhere. And we thought, what's the point of making and showing how to use a water filter if she can't walk and carry water? It doesn't make any sense. So we thought, well, let's start off by praying that she'd be healed. And so we prayed for her to be healed. And I'm a real man of faith, she said. I'm headaches, I've got walking problems, I've got crooked knees, I've got bad back. And I thought, I think my faith level is about a headache right now, so I'll start with a headache. And I started praying for a headache through the translator, praying for this headache, and this woman started making these funny signs. She kept going like this, and I said, what's happening? It's this. And I had no idea what she was getting on about. And so I thought, okay, I'll ask her how she's going. And I said to her, has your headache gone? And she stood up and she started dancing. Oh, wow. Now, she was straight as I'm standing now, and she was dancing around the room, and it was just this amazing. I was just going for the headache. God was going for the whole body. So can I say, when you're praying for somebody that's sick, Holy Spirit never practices. He never practices. He doesn't need to practice. Holy Spirit is very good at this. You practice, he does. And this woman was totally and utterly transformed. That night we had a meeting in the village. And if you've been to the Philippines, you will know that life centres around, especially in rural areas, around about the basketball stadium. Everybody loves basketball over there. They're just into it. And I think it's due to the American occupation from the war, and that is, they've gone into basketball a big way. So every small village you go into, basketball stadium. So when you have a meeting, an evangelism crusade, you go to the basketball stadium. That's where all the people are. And that night, this woman turned up, and she had this most gorgeous dress on. It was ankle-length, beautiful, pink, gorgeous dress. And she was there sitting in the group, and I said, come out and share what happened to you. She came out, started dancing, and the whole... Can you imagine what happens when somebody like that is healed? Can you imagine when people knows that woman, what she's been like? She's been like this, walking through the village, and suddenly she's up dancing. Guess what? People want to know what happened. who changed her, who transformed her. And that night in the village, I think we saw pretty well every person that came to that basketball stadium made a commitment to Jesus. Now, to me, that's better than sliced bread. Come on. It is just so good to see something like that happen. Another place I went to was in India, and we had been praying all day. We'd been working with a clinic. We've gone with a medical clinic, and we were praying for people before we gave them the tablets, so they usually didn't get the tablets because they're already healed. But we were praying for people, and we got to the end of the day absolutely worn out. Just couldn't do it anymore. And this woman walked up to us. She would have been, I guess, very hard to tell, but I guess she was about 60 to 70, relatively young compared with me. 60 to 70. But she stood in front of me and her whole face was just weeping. She was just crying. I'll get emotional telling the story. Sorry about that. This just happened. And this woman just stood before me and I didn't have the foggiest idea what was going on. So I called a translator over and they were worn out as well. They'd been translating all day and putting up with these stupid Europeans. And we said, what's happening for this lady? And they said, her husband died last year and her son has just died. Now, if you're not aware of it, if you are by yourself in a country that is a developing country as a woman, there's only two options, prostitution or begging. And that's all she had. What do you do? And the most gorgeous thing I saw happen, the apostle, if you want to use that expression, the senior leader, this guy's only got a church of 380,000, so he's relatively small in terms of Indian churches. And I said to him, this woman is a widow indeed. And he came up and he just embraced her. And he said, guess what? Welcome into the family. It broke my heart. Still does. Still does. So why do I love mission? You know, I was thinking about why, what is it? See, I used to do the good handing out the tracts. Anybody ever handed out tracts to people and got dirty looks? Anybody gone door knocking and have the door shut in your face? I've done that and it doesn't work for me. I find that hard work. I just don't find it enjoyable at all. And I was trying to work out, what is it that shifted my perspective? What is it that shifted me to want to go on to mission? And these are the things that happened for me. The first thing was Leslie and I had this encounter with the Holy Spirit that was overwhelming. We had been to Canada when there was a great outpouring of the Spirit at Toronto. And Leslie and I were just walloped in the Spirit. We were just filthily, dirtily walloped in the Spirit. We were just overwhelmed by His presence. And I think that is a key that you spoke about the fire this morning. And that's what happened for Leslie and I. That's what shifted us from one place to another place. I think that was part of what kind of hit me, why I wanted to be involved in mission of some sort. It was the presence of God and His Spirit that had come. And it wasn't just a casual thing, it was a transforming thing. It was something that changed me from being a legalist to being a person of grace. It changed me from being a person that was so dedicated to getting things right and stepping into a place where I was free in Christ. I think that was the first thing. The second thing, I believe, was I suddenly saw grace the term grace in a different perspective. Let me explain it. I was brought up a good evangelical. In other words, grace, everybody knows that song, and I even knew the song. I could quote the song. I knew the author of Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saves a... And that was a word I concentrated on. Wretch like me. And it's true. And it's true. I did a course on evangelism where you learnt that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's true. It is true. It is true. But there's something about grace that is greater than that, that suddenly occurred to me that in Scripture in John, it actually says that Jesus grew in grace. Hang on. If grace is God's unmerited favour and Jesus is growing in unmerited favour, there must be something else in this dynamic. There must be something else there. In John, it actually talks about Jesus as being full of grace. So there was something else that, in this term grace, that impacted me. It was Bill Johnson quote that I'll quote to you, where Bill Johnson said that grace is God's unmerited mercy to allow us to walk in enabling power. In other words, grace is not just salvation stuff. It is empowering stuff. Is that a stuff that takes you from being a recipient, I'm going to hang on until Jesus comes to get to heaven, to being a person who is filled with his enabling power to do. In Ephesians 3, we often quote Ephesians 2. We quote Ephesians 2 where it says, by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourself. It is God's gift, not of works, lest anybody should boast. For you are his workmanship to do. To do. There's something to be done. And if there's something to be done, we need to be empowered, and that's part of the grace issue that struck me. That is, grace was not saving only salvation. It was grace that was empowering. And once you see that, it's like having a brand new car, never taking it out of the garage because you're afraid of making a mistake. Once you see grace is your empowerment of God's Spirit in you, there's almost a compelling force within you to utilize what he's given you. And I think that was the second thing I saw, the issue of grace. I went to this place in Samar last year, not this year, last year. Went to this place in Eastern Samar. And we stepped foot on the island. There was only about five blokes. All the women were at a women's conference. All the pastors were at a pastor's conference. There was five of us. We were going over there to give water filters out. We walked up the road into the first house. Can we come in? Now, being a European in that type of country, you've got good leverage because they always invite a white skin in. Whether you like it or not, or what they'll invite you in courtesy. They're such courteous people. And I went in there and we spoke to them about a water filter, putting a water filter in, about Jesus. It turned out that there were many children already in hospital with typhoid because the water they got was available only 2 hours a day. And other than that, they had to get water from the river where everybody washed and did everything else in it and whatever else. And we spoke to them about Jesus. We said, would anybody want to be, need to be healed, need prayer for healing? We spoke to them about Jesus, and this young woman, I'm so ashamed, but I thought initially it was a young man, but it was a young lady, Annika. She would have been 14. She's still 13 or 14. She made a commitment to Jesus on the spot. And she took us by the hand and she led us from house to house to house to house to house. saying, you need to go there, you need to go there, you need to go there, you need... The Spirit of God had come to her, and there was suddenly this shift within her spirit. She went from who she was to a raving evangelist. Something happened. And we were walking away from that place that into that day, and she said, you're going to come back. And I had to say, honestly, I don't think we'll ever come back here again. I don't think we can. We told the story to the team leader, who's in Australia, by the way, in a couple of weeks. There's some brochures up the back if you'd like to hear him. A fellow by the name of Steve Stewart. And he said, he heard about it, and he said, let's go back to this island. We went back to this island. We went to this place, and who was waiting to meet us on the shore? It was this same woman, Annika. She was waiting there for us. She must have heard we're coming. She took us from place to place, and she took us to a place where there was a granny, deaf as a post. Everybody was shouting at granny. Nobody could hear. She couldn't hear a thing. Everybody shouted at her. And we prayed for granny. And her eyes just suddenly went boing. And suddenly she could just so clearly hear people. All the family were still shouting at her, and she could hear everything. And she came down to the waterfront, and we had a worship time down there, and just a celebration time, and she was in the front row, beaming, hearing. It's also the village I met a guy that he can only speak English when he's drunk. I don't understand that. Don't understand it at all, but that's the only time he can speak English. And so it was that sense of grace that got to me, that there must be something to be done which God has put in you. So if you belong to Jesus and the Spirit of God has come to you, you have this empowerment within you. You may refer to it as the gifts of the Spirit. That's healthy. But there is something within you that God has put there, this enabling power for you to be involved in the working of the gospel in some way. And that struck me. That moved me to do something. So I think one of the first places I went to was the Philippines. We went to Smoky Mountain. Who's heard of Smoky Mountain? Anybody heard of Smoky Mountain? It's the rubbish dump, Payatas. The population of the rubbish dump, 300,000 people. How many churches in the rubbish dump? 40. The pastors live in the rubbish dump. They don't have to. They choose to live in the rubbish dump. Why? That's where their church is. That's where the people are. And they live in the dump. And as we were there, I think Suze was there at that time as well as Leslie. And during the night, you see them working up in the rubbish tip and just the power and the grace of Jesus that had come. I got struck by when the Spirit of God came, something happened. When I understood something about grace that was different, something happened. But it was when I also read the ministry of Jesus and looked at what Jesus did when he was actually speaking and calling people to God, that I realized there was more than just giving out tracts. There was more than just speaking, standing on the street corner preaching the gospel. In Luke chapter 7, starting around about verse 20, men came to Jesus. They said, John the Baptist has sent us to you. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect somebody else? At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. One of the things that struck me about the ministry of Jesus, he had authority and power. A person who knows their authority doesn't have to beg. Can I just underline that? A person who knows their authority doesn't have to beg. Ever been pulled up by a policeman? I know you never have. This is a perfect church. But have you ever been pulled up by a policeman and he said, look, I'm so sorry to trouble you, Anthony. So sorry, but you are doing 75 in the 50 zone. I feel really bad about this, Anthony. Look, would you please accept this ticket? I have this ticket here. Would you mind taking it? Because I just feel so bad about giving it to you, and you look such a nice bloke. I don't really think I should, but would you mind taking it from me? You don't see it, yeah, you've got to give it back to him. See, a policeman never begs, he knows their authority. As you read through the scriptures with Jesus, he never begged to see somebody healed or set free. He knew his authority. How many times have you, yourself or somebody else, you've heard them praying for somebody to be healed and they prayed, oh God, this person is such a wonderful person. Father, this person deserves more than this sickness. Father, they've done so much for the kingdom. I beg of you, Father, heal them. You ever experienced that or not? Or is that only me? Somebody has? When we understand the authority, something is different. Because it says in the Gospels that Jesus appointed the 12, listen to this, that they would preach and they would have authority to cast out demons. He deliberately chose the 12 that they would have the authority that he had. And so that scripture in Matthew 28:20, where he says, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth, you go because I'm giving you authority. And so it struck me that when we pray for people, it should be very simple and direct. It should be a command, which I think is good. Because the command, the spoken word, indicates to the enemy that you mean business and that you understand who you are in Christ. I think one of the things I had to unlearn when I was praying for the sick, especially on mission field, is not to beg, but to command. Does that sound strange to anybody? Is it presumption? Do you think it sounds presumptive to command sickness to go? That was something I learned. I had to learn. I'll demonstrate. I'll model that tonight just to give you an idea of how that works. And so something that I saw in Jesus is he had authority. That's what people knew about him. He had authority. And I thought, okay, if that's what Jesus has given, we need to walk into that. The other thing I saw about Jesus' ministry that struck me for mission was that he had a different view of justice than I did. You may remember in the scriptures that actually where Jesus actually ridiculed, he actually had a go at the Pharisees because he said, you have not shown justice or the love of God. You have forgotten justice and the love of God. See, justice is the foundation of God's throne. And so at some point the church needs to demonstrate justice. We all like the idea of justice. If somebody broke into our house and pinched all our TVs, we'd want justice. So when Jesus came, he came to bring justice. And he asked us to do the same thing. What is the justice? Every time Jesus healed a blind person, there was justice was being done. Every time Jesus set a person free from condemnation, justice was being done. It's a different view of justice. Justice is freeing you to be who you are meant to be. And justice is coming against the oppressor to free the oppressed. So let me show you a couple of slides that may actually take the boredom away from me speaking. So can we have a look at one of those slides one at a time? We'll just go one and then one, and I'll talk a bit about them. You say, what is it? It's a house. How's that for a good house? See the TV aerial? No, not. See the running water? Not. You know, justice is where a body of people, and I'd hope it would be the body of Christ, would rise up to do it, would see that and would say, we can change that. Because that's justice. If we go to the next slide, we'll actually see what is actually being done. in this particular Zayats, they decided to build new homes for these people. I went out with Habitat for Humanity, where they relocated people out of cardboard boxes, and we built 270 homes in a week to take people out of the areas where typhoons would just wash away their cardboard boxes. See, justice is a very broad term, but when Jesus came, he came to establish justice. We tend to think that, you remember that verse in Genesis where it says, he will bruise the serpent's head. And we see Jesus as being the victor on the cross as defeating the enemy. But remember, every time Jesus did something on earth that overwhelmed the enemy's influence in somebody's life, justice was being done. The next slide is very interesting. There's an ugly bloke in the next one. One of the things that we do is to distribute food and water filters. Those blue containers are simply the vessels for holding water for the water filters. Who was it that gave me some money to take to the Philippines to buy water filters? Who was it? There was somebody here. Yeah, well, there's a couple of people here who gave me money. About $40, I think it is, $40 American, or $35, $40 American, I think it is. And the money we actually got, extra water filters. So we actually put water filters into homes, into village clusters. Why? I got some rotten statistics here that I don't believe, and I went back a couple of times to check them. Are you aware that every 90 seconds a child dies in the world from a water-borne disease? Every 90 seconds. That's frightening. Every 90 seconds. Since we've been meeting here tonight, how many kids have died because of a water-borne disease? The statistics, I think they're fairly accurate, says that in 2013, 783 million people in the world had no access to clean water. There are so many things you can see on television that have a possibility of you to sow in, where people are doing clean water projects. Test them out. Make sure they're right. Make sure they're appropriate. Make sure you're not wasting your money. But can I say one way to show social justice in this world, which Jesus came to establish, is to assist with clean water. Can we go back one slide? Is that possible? Can we go backwards as well as frontwards on that machine up there, or is that impossible? It's all good. We can go back one. It's interesting that down at Long Jetty, the church has got together and they've actually taken over a motel, and in the motel they put people, short-term stays of homeless people. I think that's brilliant. And they feed the people every Wednesday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They provide lunch for them. That is social justice. That is kingdom activity. That is mission here. Not overseas, here. That is something that you can actually actively be involved in. Go back to the other slide again. Thanks very much. Because we distributed food, we distributed water filters. The other statistic I found it hard to believe this, and I went back and checked it three times. 21,000 people die every day of hunger or hunger-related diseases in the world. That's pretty hard. That's why it's good to distribute rice. We took rice to one house. It was hilarious because we took it to the house and the woman was so happy because her husband was a fisherman and he caught three fish. They were about that long. And he said, we've got some fish and now we've got the rice. And we're right for a couple of days. We thought, well, that's good. Can I encourage you, if you in some way can actually sow into that type of situation, ministry, there's so many people. Just now there's somebody up here in Revelation Church, a fellow by the name of Gary Smith. He's just starting a food van to go around the streets to give food to the homeless. There's so many opportunities for Father's Table. There's so much. where we can sow into. It is mission. I just happened to go overseas and do something. Next slide. This is the part I really love. Thank you. It's the tourism. We went up a river to a village at this trip. You can see the boat. It is flimsy as it looks. The guys actually had to get out of the boat and push us over the rocks. It was a two-hour boat ride, very uncomfortable. To go to a village that is only accessible in winter because in summer the river is so high nobody can get there. The village is flooded during winter in summer, and so everybody has to retreat to the church. Next slide. One of the things we did when we were there is to get all the people together that would come from the village in the basketball court. That's what it is. And to talk about Jesus. Simply to share the gospel. Tell them about Jesus. This is what Jesus, who Jesus is, what Jesus does. But the miracle is this. Next slide. Is that old people like me, and that's on the side. I don't know how that happened. Saying everybody turn their head to one side. Old blokes like me can pray for somebody who's blind. You've only got about a minute to pray. Is a minute enough for you to pray for somebody to see again? Guess what? Next slide. It is. A happy man. He, the first time he could see for a long while. In another place I went to, another guy prayed for this guy. He was a young man. He would have been really young man. He mostly was about Keith's age. He was only very young. And he was blind. Somebody brought him over. He was blind. They prayed for him. He was healed on the spot. He walked out of there, grabbed his father's arm. His father was blind as well. Generational curses, if you're interested. He brought his father over. I prayed for his father. I said to his dad, what do you see? And he said, I can see everything. It was amazing. I'm just blown away that Jesus would use an old bloke to do such wonderful stuff. Next slide. And after a while, people just come around. They start knowing that healing's going on and people just turn up from everywhere. Right in the centre there, you'll see another Australian guy, he's right over the very back of the picture. He's short-topped hair, glasses and a blue shirt. Can you see him? From Queensland. His name is Neville Carter, no relation. He had just prayed for a woman who was mute. Guess what the first word was? Jesus. She spoke for the first time since birth. And she was about 25. For some reason, everybody's excited. Don't know why, but if you look there and see the crowd, they're excited. Because this woman was healed and she could speak. A couple of places we prayed for people in their homes during the day. And they weren't healed. And they came to the meeting at night and said, I have been healed. So when you pray for someone and you don't see healing on the spot, be comfortable for them to go away knowing that God can still heal. Next one, please. Next slide. Does she look happy or does she look happy? She couldn't walk. She couldn't see. She was prayed for. She still used a stick, I think, as a comfort. But you can now see. And is that the mark of something very special? She was transformed dramatically. I'd like to teach you how we pray for healing on the mission field, which is no different than you would pray if you'd been to the healing rooms at Tigra or healing rooms somewhere else. Last slide. We also had a chance to go to the most depressing place, and that's the jail. Can I say injustice? If you want to see injustice, go to the jail and some of these places. People are locked up and they're not given a trial for 5 years, 10 years, because they're political prisoners. And they just sit there. And we had the privilege of actually buying them flip-flops. You can't call them thongs over there for some reason, so you have to call them flip-flops. We bought them flip-flops. We gave them strings for a guitar so they could actually play the guitar they had in the jail. And we also bought them some other things for their water filter. But we went to the jail, prayed for guys. I prayed for a Muslim guy in the jail. I said, "Can I please pray for you in the name of my Jesus?" And he said, "I'd love you to." And I prayed for him, the poor guy. He was an Indian guy trapped in the Philippines in jail with nowhere to go. His family were his wife was stuck with nothing. She was out of jail and she was just stuck there. Pray for him. He didn't make a commitment to Jesus, but I tell you what, there was such a connection that I can't forget it. I've got no idea what I had in my notes, but it was something like that. So anybody here right now has got some pain in their body? Anybody got aches and pain in their body right now? Yep, come. Any of either? Would you mind me modelling with you just how we pray for the sick on the field, and you can do it anywhere else? Is that okay? Is that all right, guys? Leslie, would you want to join me? You might like to face these people here. Not too many people come out because I'm going to get everybody else to start praying in a minute. So I'm just going to show you what to do, but I'm not the miracle man here. It's Jesus, and he lives in you. So I want to show you what we do, and I'll get you to pray. Is that all right? Is that okay? So this is roughly the model. Firstly, I blame my nose. That's better. And then I say, "Yeah, g'day. What's your name?"
Heath.
Heath, that's fine. Thanks for coming. Do you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder, Heath? Just like to do that. Is that comfortable? Yeah. Whereabouts is the pain, Heath? Where's the aches?
Generally knee.
In your knees? Which knee? So they're not in pain right now?
They are.
So the level of pain, 1 to 10, how much?
It's only about a 4 or 5 at the moment.
Okay, fine. So it's okay.
It was about a 9, about an hour ago.
Okay, about an hour ago. It was a 9. You must have been coming to church. Okay, we've got about a minute to pray for him, okay? So I'll just put my hand on his shoulder. That's okay. Spirit of God, come. You just close your eyes or relax as much as you want. Spirit of God, just come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Father. We speak to the pain in the knees, and in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we command all pain to go right now. Tendons, nerves, to come back into right order in Jesus' name. Amen. How's it feel? Test it out. Getting better. It is getting better. Is it better?
Yeah. Pain's gone. It's much easier to move around.
So is there any pain left?
Actually, no. It's just gone now.
It's all gone. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, don't go away. Don't go away. Now, you stay there because we're going to get him to pray for you. Okay? So these are the steps I use and we use when I've been praying out there, because you've got 150 people to pray for. You don't have a lot of time. I've asked his name. I've asked for permission to put my hand on his shoulder or wherever it's hurting. I've then asked the Spirit of God to come. For a non-Christian, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So for a non-Christian, quite often I would just simply be praying, "Love of God, come to Heath right now." Is everybody familiar and knows what happens when the Spirit of God comes on someone? Do you know the marks of what happens when God's Spirit comes on a person? Have you seen that? Everybody has? Yeah, it's a whole series of ways. Sometimes you'll see peace. I remember praying for a guy who was really up tense, and we just asked, "Love of God, come," and you just saw this peace just come all over his body. And you just wait for that. You wait for that because that's the presence. You wait. You've got 30 seconds. You can wait. No, seriously, you just wait. Until you see the Spirit of God, he's come and he's touching you. And then it's a simple prayer of command. I speak to the knees in Jesus' name. I command all pain to go. How is the pain now, by the way?
It's gone.
It's gone. Thank you, Jesus. And so we speak to the pain to go in Jesus' name. What's the next thing I did? Sorry? That's it. Test it out. Most of us are scared of asking a person, how do you feel? Why are we scared? Okay, something else. Yeah, exactly. But it's the only way you're going to know what has actually happened. And so if we say to him, how are you feeling? He says, I'm feeling great. Thank you, Jesus. Next person, please. Is that okay? Thank you. Okay, good. Okay, who else would write some prayer tonight? A couple of people? No, I saw more hands than that before. Come on. Seriously, have you been healed while we were praying for this person? For Heath? You had your hand up, I think, a minute ago for pain, didn't you? Okay, if you need prayer, if you have pain in your body, if you like prayer for healing, put your hand up and don't be embarrassed. No embarrassment here. Okay, quite a few. Righto. Keep your hand up, please. Actually, stand up so we know where you are. Can I get somebody to move with that person? Do you mind doing this? Is that okay to get people involved? Okay, move to somebody that's standing up and needs prayer. Go on, you can do it. Guess what? Grace means you've got the enabling presence of God with you. Guess what? You have the authority of Jesus to speak to sickness. Okay, so I'm going to walk you through it just to help you out. Now, you've got enough people here to pray. Come on, come and help us if you don't have enough. Everybody got somebody with them. Tell me, has everybody got somebody with them? Okay, first thing to do, if you don't know their name already, ask them. If you do know their name, say, good to see you again. Is it okay for me to put my hand on your shoulder or wherever it's hurting? I'm asking you to suck eggs, but I'm telling you I'm just modeling what we've done. Once you've done that, simply ask for the Spirit of God to come and watch. Keep your eyes open. Don't pray with your eyes shut. Keep your eyes open. That's it. Spirit of God, come. Just watch. Spirit of God, come. Sometimes you'll see a very faint trembling, a peace come. Your gentleness, of quietness, Spirit of God, come. Okay? If you haven't already asked them what they want prayer for, just ask them, what would you like prayer for? Once you've understood that, just say, Spirit of God, come and now speak to the condition. When you see just that peace of God coming, speak to the condition. Short prayer, authority. And believe in your authority, so it's short prayer. And the last thing to do is ask them, okay, test it out. Test it out, see how it feels, see if there's any difference. If they say there's no change, pray again. Don't be embarrassed. Jesus prayed twice. You can pray twice. Who has seen a significant difference after being prayed for the first time? Who has seen a difference? Yes. Can you come out and tell us? Come, come, come. Who else? Yeah, come on. Where's that microphone, Anthony? Here it is. This is one of those fancy ones. Not... Can you tell us what has happened?
Well, I had a pain in my back, the side of my back, and it feels a lot better.
Has it all gone completely?
Not 100%.
Okay, James, you have to pray a bit more. Okay, so go back to James and get a bit more prayer. Yes?
I've had a lot of pain in my jaw all this week because I had a dental procedure done. Yep. And I haven't been able to eat properly because it's just too painful.
Yes.
Now I can actually touch the inside of my gum with my tongue.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Anybody else? Yes? Margaret? I know Margaret because she hassles me all the time.
That's only because I love you.
Oh, thank you.
I actually had to sit down through worship because of the pain in my back.
Okay.
I had Sue and Alex and Leslie.
Okay.
I had the awesome threesome. And I've got no pain.
I hope you had Holy Spirit as well.
Oh, yeah. Thank Absolutely. You. No pain.
No all pain. Good. All pain's gone. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. Yes, come, please. Let us know. Please don't be embarrassed to witness what God's done. It's pretty important. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I've got crappy shoulders, but...
Crappy shoulders. is that a medical term, is it?
Yep, medical term. Okay. Haven't been able to do any weightlifting or working out in a while because it's too sore, but yep. Now they feel fine.
You feel well?
They feel fine.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Who pray for you? The big bloke. That explains it. Who else got... Anybody else notice a substantial difference in after prayer? Yes, somebody else? Good. Come.
Hey, I've had really bad neck and back pain pretty much since I started year 12, and now I can actually move my neck back. So, yeah, that's really good.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Well, sir, I'll hand it back to you, but I trust there's a couple of strategies and something for you to model there. That'll be good. Keith? All good.
Thanks, Ray. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Thank you, Ray. That's awesome. Yeah, look, don't be afraid to pray for people and lay hands on people. And as Ray said, ask for permission. Lay hands quickly on no man, Paul said to Timothy. But it's a wonderful thing to see testimonies of what God is doing. And it is true to say that when you go to other countries, they do tend to be more open. They certainly don't have the resources that we've got. But we should still be praying for one another on a regular basis. We have people who are also not with us tonight because they're ill. Maria had a fall yesterday. She's quite ill, and Rick is sick. We spoke to them this afternoon. They're on the mend, but they're still a bit sick. So we might pray for those as a church. Does anyone else know anyone else who's ill? Linda. Yeah, Linda. When's she having her operation?
16th of August.
All right. Yeah, okay. One more week, just give her patience, Lord. So anyone else? Linda? Oh, really? What's his name?
Her name.
Ruba. Ruba, okay. All right, yep, all right. Anyone else?
Patricia's
got... having chemo at the moment, so she's pretty sick as well. Anyone else? No? Okay, well, let's just pray for those folk. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are the healer. You are Jehovah Rapha and that you heal. We command right now in the name of Jesus that every sickness would depart from those people right now in Jesus' name. We command it. A sickness leave their bodies right now in Jesus' name and leave nothing left but healing, restoration. Empower their bodies, empower their minds. We equip them with your grace, Father God, that they might know that you have healed them in Jesus' name. Father, we particularly pray for Rick and for Maria, and we pray for Linda, we pray for Ruba, and we pray for Patricia. Father, you would have your hand particularly on those folk tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. If you would like more information about our church, visit centrallife.com.au.